Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you all from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The title of my sermon today is called Adopted Heirs. And the text is the epistle lesson which you heard earlier. And as I begin my sermon, I'm going to start with a story. It's an imaginative story, so I want you to put yourself in the shoes of this person that I'm describing. Imagine yourself as this person, okay? Imagine yourself as a child. You're born into a family. But the family that you are born into is no ordinary family. You see, the family that you have been born into has a great deal of wealth. It has assets beyond the majority of the people of this world. As a child, you heard a lot about this wealth and how it has been passed down from generation to generation, from your great-grandparents to your grandparents, from your grandparents to your parents, and now it is going to be passed down from your parents unto you. But even as you are told about this great inheritance, you also hear at the same time that your parents have extremely high expectations of you. You are expected to live up to the family name, both inwardly and outwardly. And that's exactly what you try to do. You spend your days, your years, growing up, trying to meet those expectations. Why? Because you have been promised an inheritance that you eagerly anticipate. This is something better than the majority of the people of this world could ever, ever get. And you live in this hope for years and years, from when you're a child to when you're a teenager, from when you're a teenager to when you become a young adult. And then as you grow older and older, you still live in this hope and expectation. Even as your parents become older and older, it's almost like that inheritance is getting closer and you can almost taste it. But then something unexpected happens. As your parents are aging, they do something that you can't really explain or understand. You see, what they do is they invite you over to their house, and then they invite you into the living room. And standing next to your parents as you walk into the living room is another person. Person's just about the same age as you. But this person doesn't look like you. You see, where you are wearing designer clothes, they're wearing rags. Where you have well-kempt hair, theirs is matted and knotted. Where you smell of that sweet perfume or cologne, they have a vile odor emanating from them. How could your parents even bring such a person into their house? Well, then comes the kicker. Your parents tell you that they just adopted this person. Now they are part of the family. And even though they have only been a part of the family for a couple of hours at best, that inheritance that you thought was all yours, now you have to share it with them. Imagine yourself in that situation. I can imagine myself, if that were to happen, I'd be appalled and angry. I would say, how could they? That person looks like a bum. How could my parents even do that? But eventually you decide, okay, I'm going to swallow my pride. I'm going to accept the situation. I'm going to try and make the best of this turn of events. And since this new person is now a part of your family, you're going to take a little bit of time to get to know them. You're going to learn about their situation, and you're going to do something that you deem as vital. I mean, your parents told you that you needed to live up to the family expectations, right? So, you start to teach this new person of your family to do the same. If you want to be a part of this family, you say, if you want access to all of the blessings and benefits of this family, then you need to start looking and acting like you're a part of this family. The epistle lesson for today is from St. Paul's letter to the churches in Galatia. Galatia, by the way, is in an area of like central Turkey. So it's a really small area, probably about seven churches that Paul had established. He established these churches probably around the year 47 AD based on the gospel. That is salvation by grace through faith, not just for Jews, but for all people, both Jews and non-Jews alike. So Paul spent some time there, and things were going pretty well. So he decided, okay, I'm going to go back to my home, and I'll come back in a bit and see how things are going. So we're guessing, we don't know exactly how long, but about a year later, Paul goes back to Galatia. And what he sees in Galatia when he gets there is awful. You see, what had happened is the Jewish Christians, that is the Jews, the people who had believed in the Old Testament and had become Christians, they skewed the message of the gospel. They told anyone who wasn't Jewish that they needed to start acting more Jewish, that they had to follow all of the laws of the Old Testament, the circumcision, the Passover, the prayers, the Psalms, the whole thing. They had to do all of that and believe in Jesus. It's not enough to just believe in Jesus. You have to do all this extra stuff as well. It's exactly what you in my illustration had said to your adopted sibling. If you want to be a part of this family, if you want access to all of the blessings and benefits, then you better start acting and looking exactly like you're part of the family. That's why Paul wrote Galatians and our epistle lesson today. And what Paul does in our epistle lesson from Galatians 3 and 4 today is he's railing against this claim that you need to become more Jewish to become Christian. He really says, in essence, that the gospel is not based on how you look or how you act in regards to cultural norms. The gospel is transcendent. The gospel is based on faith. And to make this point, what Paul does is he tells everybody in Galatia, both the Jews and the Jewish Christians and the non-Jewish Christians, that they both need to be adopted into a new family. He started in the verse immediately before our gospel lesson in Galatians chapter 3, verse 23, when he said that we, that is Jewish Christians, were held captive under the law, being imprisoned. We were enslaved to the elementary principles of this world. We had a bad father. That's what Paul is saying. But then Paul said, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. You see, it's not just Jewish or it's not just non-Jewish Christians who were adopted into the Christian family. It's the Jewish Christians who were also adopted into the family as well. What Paul is saying is the old inheritance, that is, all of the stuff in the Old Testament, all of the blessings and all of the things that were in it, those are not worth a penny in comparison to the new blessings that are given in Jesus Christ. Because Christ's blessings are not based on how you look. Christ's blessings are not based on your ethnicity or your race. Christ's blessings are not based on your economic status, whether you're rich or middle class or poor. Christ's blessings are based on one thing and one thing alone. They're based on the words of Jesus and the promise of God the Father given in the waters of baptism. When somebody is baptized, their status is changed for the better. All who are baptized are adopted heirs. All who are baptized have a new, greater, more distinguished inheritance than anything or anyone could ever provide here on earth. I want to apply this idea of being adopted heirs to our life as a church today. I'm going to admit that I've only been part of this community that is in southern Illinois for about 7 years, I think. I lost track of time at this point. But I have oftentimes found, at least while I'm here, because I'm not from Southern Illinois, that people either say it or they don't say it and they mean it. You're really not a member of our community, and you never will be. And the same can be said of our churches, too. Here in Randolph County, I have found that many churches are proud of their ethnic heritage. Elsewhere, not necessarily here in Randolph County, but elsewhere, people boast in the church about their economic status. I have also seen churches where they boast about how they all wear the right clothes. But what happens when a church is based on these things? And when somebody who comes in, who's not like us, who we deem as other, how do we treat them? More often than not, rather than telling them to believe as we do, we ask them to be like us. To be a member of this community, you have to sing German chorales from the right hymnal. To be a member of this community, you need to dress a certain way. To be a member of this community, you have to do such and such and such. Now, I can see there's some value in doing this. You want people to feel like they fit into a community. And there's some benefit in this because it can create a sense of prestige and status and standing in the world. But the problem is, if this is all we focus on, what we're doing is we're missing the point. We shouldn't be focusing on trying to get people to be like us. Because when we do that, we're overlooking something really, really important. If we want people to be like us, we're asking them to be sinners like us. And think about how much sin infects our lives. Even the best families have painful and broken homes. Even the best relationships have failures. Even the best parents can be unsympathetic at times. If we invite people to be like us, then we're inviting them to be part of our sinful family, not inviting them to be a part of a better family. And this is the blessing. We have been made members of a better family. And we invite people to become part of a better family. We have been made part of a family of the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He makes us part of his family through the waters of baptism. In baptism, we are adopted into God's family, and more than simply being adopted into the family, we are made to be inheritors. We are given the promise of a blessing beyond anything in this world, beyond anything that this world can provide. We are being promised eternal, everlasting life. Rather than focusing on people being like us, we need to focus on believing like us. Because that's really what matters. In my illustration at the beginning, I had the person say, if you want to be part of this family, if you want to have access to all of the blessings and benefits, you need to start acting and looking like you're part of this family. Sadly, this is the way that many people look at the church. But that is truly not what the church is based on. The church is based on what God makes us, and that we would believe and trust what God makes us. Believe that you are forgiven. That's what we tell people. That's what we hear ourselves. Believe that the inheritance is yours. That's what we hear ourselves. That's what we tell others. Believe in your heavenly fathers. That's what we believe ourselves, and that's what we tell others. We are all adopted. And we are all adopted into the blessings of eternity through faith in Jesus Christ, both now and forevermore. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.